Hey, this is Todd Reynolds, and I'm the men's pastor at Gateway North Richland Hills. We want to thank you for joining our Men's Summit podcast today. Our goal is to encourage and challenge you in every area of your life. In this episode, we want to share one of our main sessions from our Men's Summit 2018. Jeremy Foster, founding and lead pastor of Hope City Church, shares an incredible message on aligning with God and understanding the authority He has given you.
In the Word of God, James chapter 4, verse 8. I love my dudes are here, man. Thank you guys for coming and making the trek up from H-Town to D-Town. I don't know if they call it D-Town, but I did. James chapter 4, verse 8. This whole chapter is really about getting in line with what God is calling us to do. But I'll just read the first part of James chapter 4, verse 8. It says, "Come close to God, and God will come close to you." This is process. God loves process. He loves process so much that you can't get promise without process. Now, we celebrate promise. I want promise, right? But in order to have promise, you have to go through a process. I want biceps, but I love bagels. You know what I'm talking about? I want my wife to look at me and say, "What a man. What a man, what a man, what a mighty, mighty good man." But I also like, "What a burger." Come on, somebody. I'm just saying, like, you want all of the good things, but then there's this nature that pushes you towards the bad things. But God has so set us up to receive the good things if we will just get in line with what He's doing. Your alignment with God will determine your assignment with God. Assignment is always in God's hands, but alignment is always in your hands. Do you realize how amazing it is to know that I get to decide if I'm gonna deny my flesh, take up my cross, and follow Him? That's process. God's not just gonna do something amazing in your life because you're like, "God, do something amazing in my life." At some point, you're gonna have to deny your lusts. And by the way, if you're saying, "I don't even know where the enemy's hitting me," I'm going to tell you, the three doors He's coming through is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. He doesn't come through any other doors. He's not creative because He's never created anything because He's not the creator. He uses the same stuff every time, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. And that's why when I yield that stuff and I get in alignment with God, it does things for me that I can't do myself. I got to spend a lot of time with Dr. Miles Monroe, the late Dr. Miles Monroe, who's taken from this life before, he was in his time, but before I wanted him to go. And he used to come to Houston a lot, and I would drive him around. I'd pick him up at the airport. He flew in on this private plane. And I remember the first time I picked him up, it was amazing because I got to drive this black SUV and go out, and like you go out on the tarmac, and there's a private jet. He's from the Bahamas, so this private jet lands, and there's like 12 people in the plane. And I have a jacket on. I'm talking in my sleeve. I'm like, "The eagle has landed." It's not connected to anybody, but it just looked awesome. You know, I pick him up, and we go to this business event. And if you don't know Dr. Miles Monroe, he's got a bunch of incredible books on the kingdom, but he also spoke to world leaders all over the world. And so he was speaking in Houston that afternoon to business leaders, and then that night to a church in North Houston, and then the next day he was going to speak to the South African Congress. So this is a man who God used to reach a multitude of different people. And so I had him in the truck, and I took him to the business event, and he was amazing. I mean, mind-blowing. But then he kept talking, you know, and I was like, "Hey, like, I need you to stop talking because I got to get you to North Houston." And we were in South Houston. And listen, I love Dallas. If you know anything about Houston traffic, though, y'all, like, at about 4:30, the Holy Spirit just says, "No, I'm out." And like about 8:15, the Holy Spirit comes back in. You know what I mean? It's like he just leaves the city desolate. And so we had to be in North Houston by 7 p.m., and at 6:10, Dr. Monroe is still talking. And on the outside, I'm like, "That's amazing, doctor." On the inside, I'm like, "Stop talking." And finally, at 6:30, he quits, and he comes off the stage. I was like, "Wow, that was powerful, doc. Let's go ahead and get you to the SUV." "All righty, then." I shut the door. I got in, and right before I floored, he goes, "Wait just a minute. Okie doke." He said, "I believe we have a police escort." I was like, "Bro, your boy's country.
I got my boots on. I don't need no police escort. I'll Bo and Luke Duke this beast. I'll jump a ditch, put it in four-wheel drive. We'll drive over some cars. Come on, somebody. But I was like, okie dokie, doctor. And the Houston version of Chips pulls up on their motorcycles. If you're a popo, God bless you, man. I love you, dude. We got a lot of cops in our church, man. This dude, he gets off his bike. He didn't even say anything to me. He just walks over. I was like, yes. He's like, stay with me. I was like, winking the gun. All right, I'm with you. This dude turned his siren and his lights on and peeled out of that parking lot. We pulled like 3 G's just pulling out of the parking lot. We're on 45, going north on 45, and these dudes are parting traffic like Moses parted the Red Sea. People are pulling over. And then we come up behind this one car. It was like a late model Impala. You know those kind that used to be cop cars that aren't cop cars anymore? You know when they pull up behind you, you're like, oh, Jesus, right now, Jesus, I need mercy. And then it's like a mom with 4 kids in the back. If that's you, I rebuke that spirit right now of deception. Paint your car and take the light off the side of it. This dude's in this car and he won't pull over. And the officer gets so mad in front of us, he slides his bike sideways and slaps the back of this car. This dude almost wrecked, pulling over. The officer says some really kind, life-giving words to him as we go by. Dr. Monroe never looks up from his Bible. He's just sitting there looking at his Bible, and he goes, did you see that? It's like, I saw my life flash before my eyes. I was like, yes, sir, I did. He said, what you have just seen is the difference between power and authority. He said, in your vehicle, you have all the power that you need to get anywhere you want to go, but it is your alignment with the authority in front of you that opens doors for you that you cannot open by yourself. On the outside, I said, that's great. But on the inside, I said, ah! I wanted to preach right then, take my handkerchief out, say, come on, doc. But I didn't. I didn't want to embarrass my family. But there's so much power in what he said. It's my alignment with the authority in front of me that helps me accomplish the assignment that's inside of me. I wonder what God has called you to that you're just out of alignment with. How often do we get out of alignment and we think that, well, that's just not my destiny. This is not a book of destiny. It's a book of decisions. God's in charge of your destiny, but he puts you in charge of your destination. So you have to decide every day, who am I going to be today? Not what am I going to do? Who is more important than do? Who am I going to be? Not what am I going to do? And whenever I decide I'm going to be like Christ, I'm going to get in alignment with what you've called me to do, then anything is possible. When we get in alignment with the vision that Pastor Robert has for our church, when we get in alignment with what God is doing in his kingdom, it changes everything in my family. The reason many of us, I would tell you, the reason many of us are suffering challenges in our family and in our lives and in our marriages and in our businesses and in our purposes is because we are not actually in alignment with what God's trying to do in our lives. The book of John chapter 14 verse 12 says, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works. Everybody say, greater works. Greater works than these he will do because I go to my Father. God has a personal plan for you. Stop writing yourself off. Get in line with what God is doing. Everybody say, line up. Line up. How do I line up? I'm going to give you 3 things that are going to help you line up. The first one is simple. It's think good thoughts. Everybody say, think good thoughts. You got to think good thoughts. Sometimes we allow our own feelings of inadequacy to disqualify us from a calling that God is preparing us for. But it's funny to me. It's hilarious to me how we all get on this merry-go-round of talking ourselves out of what God is calling us to. Well, I'm not a pastor. I don't know that I could do that. I'm not a pastor. And pastors are saying, well, I'm not a businessman. And it's a businessman saying, yeah, but I'm not in retail. You know, I'm in business. I don't have the opportunity to do this or do that. And we will talk ourselves out. Or you don't know what I've been through. You don't know the sin in my life. You don't know the challenges in my life. And so we think bad thoughts about ourselves and say bad things about ourselves. And it nullifies what God's trying to say over us. Because he's not going to talk over you. Whose voice is the loudest in your life? I remember a few years ago, I got invited to a conference. And I wasn't preaching at the conference. I just got to sit on the front row, which was an honor. It was a big, big, huge church, thousands of people there. I brought my biggest Bible. Not this one, this one's small. Brought my biggest Bible highlighters. I sat on the front row. Christine Kane was preaching. I crossed my legs like pastors do, you know. Rock my leg back and forth every time she said something. I would say, "That's so good. Hear that. Hallelujah." Isn't it weird how some some pastors change their voices when they get in the pulpit? You ever heard that? Like you're talking to somebody and he's like, "Hey man, how's it going?" But when he gets in the pulpit, he's like, "Right now, in the name of Jesus." Like, that ain't even how you talk. That's just me thinking out loud. Christine Kane was up preaching. Have you guys ever heard Christine Kane? She's from Hillsong, Australia. She's amazing. She got up and she said, "Lately, God has been waking me up." I don't know why she sounds like a pirate to me, but she does a little bit. Oh, we're not streaming this, Christine. I'm sorry. "Lately, God has been speaking to me. He's been waking me up at 4 a.m. And he's been sharing with me the sweet nectar of the word from 4 a.m. to 8 a.m. And on the outside, I was like, "Hallelujah." But on the inside, I was like, 4 a.m. to 8 a.m., Holy Spirit, I didn't even know you were awake at that time. Honestly, here was my thought. That's so good, Christine, so good. But on the inside, I'm like, if we can clone a sheep, why don't we just clone her and let her reach the world? Because your boy ain't never going to be up at 4 a.m. I'm like, "God, are you there?" I'm just like, that's me. And in this moment, now I'm being dumb, but it's a real thing. In this moment, I begin to immediately disqualify myself and disqualify my calling. Like, "God, I could never do that because look at what she's doing to earn that." And I made it all about works. God wants to do something great with you if you'll just get in line. You don't have to copy anybody's calling. You don't have to copy. God's so unique, he can make twins that you can't even tell the difference, but they have totally different DNA. They do totally different things. They have two totally different purposes. God doesn't imitate, he creates. That's how he rolls. And what you have to do is you have to find out what he's calling me to do. What's he calling me? What's he calling you to do? What's he uniquely equipped you to do? The challenge is, a lot of times we don't even know that we already have everything that we need to do what God has called us to do. When Moses leads the people out of Egypt towards the promised land, they're all excited, they're rejoicing, and then they reach the Red Sea, and what do they start doing? If you know the story or you've seen the movie, they start complaining and whining and crying. And Moses says, "Chill out, let me talk to the Lord." I mean, the Lord literally brought them out of 400 years of slavery and captivity, and the first obstacle, they start wanting to turn around. Moses goes to the Lord, Exodus chapter 14, verse 13. Then Moses answered the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm," and I'm already in, so I'm going for it. "And you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today." Apparently, Moses was Indian. "The Egyptians you see today," I'll pastor in Houston. "The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still." Listen, the real preacher was here last night, and there will be another one here tonight. Mike Todd's in the room. So, I mean, I love this. You don't need to fight. You only need to be still. Oh, that's powerful. So what's your definition of being still? Then the Lord said to Moses, well, here's God's definition. "Why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on." Be still, move on. Some of us are saying, "I'm just waiting on God." Oh, what you call patience, heaven calls procrastination. I'm just waiting on God. God's actually waiting on you to move on past that thing that you've allowed to become a roadblock in your life, in your marriage, in your business, in your commitment to God. Somebody's got to get up today and say, "I'm going to move past my failure." Just because I failed doesn't mean that I'll always be a failure. At some point, I got to put my shoulders back and say, "My God is more than enough. And he can handle my failure." Sorry, y'all. Sometimes I get screamy. Kind of hurts my throat. Then the Lord says, "Raise your staff. you know, the one I gave you before all this craziness started, and stretch out your hand. You remember the one you were born with over the sea to divide the water so that the Israelites can go through the sea on dry ground. Stop thinking. You have to get yourself ready. You have to figure everything out. You already have everything that you need. You just got to submit your will to him and say, use me, Lord, whatever you want to do. I am yours and you are mine. Come close to God and God will come close to you. Ask and you'll seek and you'll knock and the door will be. If you will, God will. He's already done everything that he needs to do. He's already prepared the way. He gave his son, and his son paid for your sins. Everything's already lined up. He's just waiting on you to line up. Whenever I get my life in alignment, it changes everything. The second thing that you have to do, first thing, you got to think good thoughts. The second thing is you got to think God thoughts. You got to think God thoughts. If you want the enemy to steal your dream, just do nothing. Just do nothing, and he will. You got to think God thoughts. God's ways are not our ways. His ways are higher than our ways. The best way that I can describe God's ways to you, and this is going to get a little sciencey on you. That's not a word. Sciencey. The best way that I can describe God, Einstein described him the best when he described the theory of relativity. Here's what he said. Time and speed are relative to the objects that are measuring them. Time and speed are relative to the objects that are measuring them. Let me explain this to you in layman's terms. Have you ever stood in your backyard and seen a plane going over and you're like, man, that thing's moving so slow. But you know it's really not moving slow. Well, let me break it down even more. How fast am I going right now? Yeah, the speed of moron. That's what you're thinking right there. That's. But you don't understand the context of speed, because if you understand the context of speed and you understand how fast our earth is spinning on its axis and how quick it's moving in our galaxy and how fast our galaxy is moving inside of the universe, and you'd understand we're going more than 2 million miles per hour, but from where you're sitting, it looks like we're sitting still, because time and speed are relative to the objects that are measuring them. So when I look at something, I don't see movement, but God sees from a different perspective than you. Einstein said, the faster you go, the slower time becomes. And at the speed of light, time would stop and distance would shrink to nothing. Time, this one blows my brains. Time and space are not constant and universal. They are flexible and personal to the observer. The problem, here's what he said, the problem lies not in relativity, but in assuming that our common sense represents reality. There's more than what you see. God doesn't live on your timeline. He lives outside of all time and space. Todd, can you come up here for just a second? Just come right here. I just step over some stuff. Turn this way sideways, right there. Okay, this is Todd. How old are you, man?
48.
48 years old. You look like you're 32. That's a word. Todd has a timeline. It started 48 years ago. Now, it's going to end somewhere way down here, bro. Come on, long life. Keep going, keep going. I got to preach, bro. He moves one direction on this timeline. He doesn't move back. He only moves forward. Because that's humanity. That's what we do. We only move forward. We can't go back. Here's where God lives. He lives outside of time and space. What do you mean? That's why when Moses said, who do I say sent me? He said, I am that I am. What's that mean? I never was, I never will be, I always am. He said, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is who he is. And that's all that he is. Popeye reference. So here's the challenge. Thanks. Some of you are late. It's cool. God loves you with your low IQ too. I move one direction. The challenge is, emotionally, I don't always move forward. Emotionally, I can get so stuck in a situation, in a circumstance, and something that happened in my life, that as I move forward on my chronological timeline, I stand still in my spirit. I stand still in my emotions. I stand still in what I'm dreaming and what I'm hoping, and my faith begins to stand still. This is why Paul talked about immature faith, because some of us look like big boys, but we're still sitting in the second grade desk. You know, the one that's connected to the chair? That if you're too big, whenever you stand up, the desk comes with you? Here's why this is important, because when you... I'm gonna preach right now. Because when you're praying for something, God lives outside of time and space. So when you're praying for something, God can move a little bit down here on your timeline and drop the answer on your timeline. You just have to keep walking emotionally and spiritually and in faith until you walk into the answer that has already been provided. So don't stop where you are. Get up and keep going, because God's got something greater for you if you won't stay where you are. Get in alignment with what he's doing. Don't stop on struggle. Don't stop on heartbreak. Don't stop on pain. Don't stop on mistakes. Come on, let's clap our hands to Jesus. It's God himself. It's God himself who gives you access into places that you cannot go by yourself. God gives you access. You don't have to qualify yourself. He qualifies you. You don't have to live a perfect life. I wish you could. I wish I could. Through the Holy Spirit, we are perfected. That means we are completed. But you don't know the mistakes I've made. You don't know the sin in my life. You don't know how many divorces I've had. You don't know the amount of times that I've cheated on my wife that she doesn't even know about. You don't know about the secret sins that I have that I haven't confessed to anybody, and I'm still trying to lead, and I'm still trying to look strong, but every time I lift my hands, I'm crushed with shame. I'm crushed with guilt, and I'm crushed with heartache. And I want to do this, but every time I even raise my hand, it happened while Cody was up here leading such a powerful worship set. And I wanted to sing, and I wanted to lift my hands, but all I could hear is, you failed. What about the mistakes? Can I tell you this? Your Father God knows about every mistake, and you have an advocate with the Father. Jesus is sitting there going, he's covered, he's covered, he's covered, he's covered, he's mine. I paid for that. At some point, you got to stand up and say, in my mistakes and in my failure and in my guilt and in my shame, you are still God, and so I give you all of me. The challenge with guilt and shame is it's a sign that you're putting your faith in you and not in God. I don't have faith in me. I can't do this. I'm not qualified to do this. So I put my faith in God, and I start thinking not just good thoughts. I start thinking God thoughts. And when you think good thoughts and you think God thoughts, it will lead you to thinking grateful thoughts. Turn to somebody and say, think grateful thoughts. When I learn how to be grateful and give God thanks in the middle of a moment, it changes everything. You can't hardly mess up grateful people. You ever met somebody who's just over the top positive about everything? You ever met people who are the opposite? Like, no matter what happens in their life, it's horrible. You're like, man, I got a raise. Like, yeah, you got a raise. I got a raise too. I have to pay more taxes. What's wrong with you? But when you're grateful, when you live a grateful life, it's really hard to get a grateful person. It's like that lady who lived in this house, and she prayed every morning. She would pray, and she was one of those old church mothers. And when she prayed loud, and she prayed long, and she prayed strong. And there was an atheist who lived next to her. And it drove him crazy because he could hear. Their houses were so close. He could hear, and she was praying, and she was crying out to God. And there was this one moment she didn't have any money for groceries. She didn't know what she was going to do. So she began to beg God, Lord, I trust you. I believe in you. I'm going to need you to provide some groceries, Lord. And the atheist heard it, and he said, watch this. Dude rolled out to the grocery store, bought a bunch of groceries, put it on her doorstep. She opened the door. She got the groceries. She said, thank you, Jesus. He jumped out. He goes, Jesus didn't do that. I did. Ha! She said, thank you, Jesus, that you provided groceries and you made the devil pay for it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. At some point, don't give Satan credit for the struggle. Give Jesus credit for the victory. I'm more than a conqueror. It means I'm going to fight a battle, but I'm going to overcome. Okay, sit down. Sorry, Pastor Robert. I'm screaming a lot. I'm going to try to get that under control. Can somebody come play the piano so I think I'm quitting? One of my favorite verses of scripture. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. That means I won't lack. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. I love this. David is just talking about the goodness of God and how good God is. And then he says, yea, though I walk through, everybody say through. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I hate the shadow of death. The shadow of death ain't fun until you understand what creates a shadow. What creates a shadow is light. So I'm not in the valley of death. I'm in the valley of the shadow of death. So what I have to do is not hide in the shadows, but look around what's in front of me, because the light is behind the obstacle that's in front of me. So he's walking with me, and I just keep walking towards the light. I'm not even preaching that. That's just a good thought. I will fear no evil for you. Everybody say you. You are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. I think it's unique how in the English changes. He's been talking in the third person, now he's talking in the first person. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil for you, because in your darkest times is when he's the closest. You are with me. You prepare a table before me. Shittah, can you come up here, man? Mark, can you come up here? Kev, can you come up here? Jesse, can you come up here if you don't mind? Y'all just run on up here. Some good dudes from our church. I want to tell you this. You're going to go through hard times. You're going to go through pain. You're going to go through heartache. You got to learn in the middle of heartache to be grateful. You got to learn in the middle of heartache to rejoice. But that's hard to do when I'm in the middle of it. But when I'm lined up with Jesus, it changes everything. Mark, this is Mark. We call him Little Bitty. I'm kidding. Nobody calls him that. For real, don't call him that. We're going to act like Mark is Jesus for just a minute. Can you be Jesus? All right. All right. So I just want you to just walk, Jesus. Just walk. Just take me around the stage. Just take me around. Jesus, maybe to you, Jesus needs to look like a very large Mexican man who is mistaken for a Samoan often. So when you align with Jesus and you stay walking with Jesus, man, it feels good. It feels awesome. It feels amazing. Why? Because my life is aligned. Until the lights are turned out in your life, until something happens in your life where everything goes dark. And when everything goes dark, now I can't see. And it might change my stride a little bit because I'm still trying to find him. But if I stay with him, I want you to notice something. He's so good. He's not leading me into obstacles. He's leading me around obstacles. And even though I can't see, he can see. So I'm not trusting my own eyes. I'm trusting his eyes. And so if he says go there, I go there. If he says walk through it, I walk through it. If he says trust me, I trust him. My stride may be different, but his is not. He leads me sometimes. Now you're not Jesus anymore. He leads me sometimes into places of struggle. So he knows where I'm going. The Bible says he goes before me. And if he goes before me, then he's already been what I'm getting ready to go into. That's why I'm an overcomer, because he's already conquered it. The Bible says he prepares a table before me, before me, before me, in the presence of my enemies. Now my enemies, what's crazy is even though it says that, my enemies don't know that. And so they have bad things in mind. Now, this can be Satan. This can be haters. This can be people who are against you. All of us have dealt with that. Guys who you thought were going to be brothers who turn on you. Whatever it is, the enemy prepares. Y'all get together. And he starts saying mean things about you. Y'all be like, we hate you or something.
We hate you.
I feel like I'm being attacked by the Boys to Men or something. That's weird. Like, get tough. Like, we hate you.
We hate you.
That's better. A little bit better. Like, that's more Jodeci level. All right, come on. Come on, get after it. Don't cuss. Don't cuss, because Pastor Robert is probably... We're from Houston, y'all. I'm just trying to... This is Gateway. All right. Like, get, like...
We don't like you, man.
So the enemy speaks hatred into your heart. and all you see is tough times and rough times, and you're praying, God, take me around that. And God's going, no, 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 no. What they meant for bad, I'm going to change for good. If you'll just learn how to be grateful in this moment, here's what I'm going to do. Can you just get down on all fours if you don't mind? If you don't mind, can you get down on all fours? Can you take that if you don't mind? And then you just take this, and then you just come over here. All right, so here's what happens. When I'm walking this way, I don't want to be here. I don't want to walk through this. I don't want to go through this. But what I don't know is God's already walked up and been like, hey, listen, I know y'all meant something really bad, but we're fixing to change everything for really good. Here, I want you to come over here. And just, no, 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 stand up right here. Just do what I tell you to do. All right, so listen. I know you hate this. I know you hate him, but I'm going to use you. What you mean for evil, I'm talking to somebody right now. What you mean for evil, I'm going to change everything. And here's what happens. You walk into this. Some of you are walking into this right now, the greatest pain in your life. You're walking into it, and you don't want to thank God. You don't even know what to do. You're saying, please deliver me. And God's saying, no, I'm walking with you through it. And what happens is when you get in the middle of it, all of a sudden he prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemy. Massage my shoulders. Give me a drink of water if you don't mind. And all of a sudden, that thing that was meant to destroy me actually sustains me, and my haters become my elevators if I learn how to walk through this thing with gratitude and gratefulness and thankfulness. And now I learn to trust in the middle of pain. I learn to believe in the middle of heartache. I learn to have hope in the middle of hurt. It is your moments of pain where God becomes the realest to you. Stand with me all across this room. Thanks, homies. I don't know what you've gone through. I don't know what you came in here dragging. But I know that God can rearrange the pain. I know what you're thinking. There are a lot of you in here, this built your faith. But there's some of you, it's just reinforced your failure and your struggle. Because you go, dude, that's so good for you to say, but you don't know what I'm going through. You don't know the heartache and the pain that I'm. It's nice for you to get up there in your little jean jacket that my daughter's bought for me. I haven't worn a jean jacket since 85. This is cool, Dad. I'm still wearing my boots. But you don't know the pain I've been through. I'll never forget the day my wife left me. Loved her. Had two kids. We'd been married for 2 years. And all of a sudden, she rolls out in a screaming fit. You'll never see your kids again. That's painful when you're in ministry, because then everybody has an opinion and everybody wants to talk about you and everybody has a thought about how this craziness happened. But they don't know the pain that we walked through. I didn't know the pain that she had walked through. My wife, her very earliest memory was being abused by a family member sexually. And it started a cycle of abuse in her life that lasted for 18 years until she met Jesus. And he began to change things in her life. And then we met. And 9 months after we got met, we got married. And on the first day of our honeymoon, abuse entered that relationship. It had been in every other relationship. I had never had abuse in any relationship. And this time it was different, though. She wasn't the one being abused. She became the abuser. You look up here and you see a dude who's decently well put together. But you don't know that I used to put makeup on my face to cover bruises so that people wouldn't ask me questions. I wore long sleeves in the summer because I didn't want people to know that I was getting beat up by my wife. I'm a cowboy. I come from a cowboy family. You don't put your hands on a woman. But what do you do when she punches you in the face? How do you handle that? How do you respond to that? When on the outside you act like everything is good and people say, how you doing? You say, blessed and highly favored, but you're not. It's brutal. It's heartbreaking, and you lie to people to cover up the pain. I didn't know how to handle it. I didn't even treat her well through it. I did what every other man has done in her life. I just rejected her. Stayed with her, but you've lost your mind. You're crazy. And I'll never forget the day that she walked out. And she didn't walk out for just a minute. She didn't walk out for just a couple of weeks. We were separated for 27 months, for 2 years. I gave my life to Jesus when I was 5, but I didn't really need him till I was 25. And I got my life in line with Jesus on an old linoleum gym floor at an old traditional church where I begin to pound the ground and find a relationship with Jesus. And I begin to say, I don't even have any hope. All I've got is trust. My hope is gone. I don't even know how to hope. I don't have any faith. All I've got is trust that you are good and you know how to do this thing. And I can tell you this, what I didn't know is while God was working on me, God was working on her. And 2 years later, she walked back to my office. She knocked on the door and she said, I don't know what's going on, but I don't want to be this way anymore. And God began to change our hearts and change our lives. And here we are, 17 years in, got 5 kids. Don't tell me God can't turn it all around and you learn to be grateful. It was those moments, listen, and I'm done. It was the moments of my greatest pain that gave me my greatest purpose to stand with my shoulders back in front of you and tell you, don't quit. Get in line. Line up. God didn't call you to comfort. Comfort and callings don't go hand in hand. You're going to make it if you just press through, but you can't do it by your might or by your power. It's only going to come through the Spirit of a holy God who will give you daily strength. If daily you'll get close to Him, He will come close to you. Jesus, in your name right now, I trust you. Only you know what the men in this room are going through. Only you know what they're dealing with. I've done what I was supposed to do. I said what I was supposed to say. Now I pray that the brokenhearted men in this room would hear hope in a moment where they have none. That in this room right now, with fist clenched, teeth gritted, they would release themselves to you and say, I've been fighting this for so long that I'm going to do what you've asked me to do right now. I feel the power of the Holy Spirit sweeping through this room so strong. God, we submit ourselves to you. If you've been far from him, submit to him right now. You've been brokenhearted, submit to him right now. You've been abused, you've been the abuser, submit to him right now. All hope is gone. It's not over. Jesus, we trust you in this moment. We give it all to you. In Jesus' name.
I hope you enjoyed today's podcast. Be sure to check out gatewaypeople.com for all things happening at our amazing church. And if you would like more information on our men's conference, please visit menssummit.com. Until next time, have a blessed day.